Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Girl, open your heart, loosen your butt. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text sex regrets or feeling on your new Jubu. They gon' talk about it, ah, yeah, you are invited, ah, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
And welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
My name is Naomi.
We're a real life couple of comedians and on Couples Therapy. Go on.
We answer a couple of different questions from a couple of different listeners. But what I was going to say this go round was we're a real life married couple. A real life married couple of comedians. And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple of different questions from a couple of different listeners. Now, of course, last week's episode with Moshe Natasha, we had been wed at that point, but we hadn't recorded the intro. So this is our first wedded introduction to Couples Therapy.
This is our first wedded introduction, Mrs. Beckerman.
Mr. Ekperigan.
That's right. We didn't combine names. She didn't take my name. We just switched names.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're a modern couple.
It's funny. It does feel just a touch different. Just a touch.
Just a touch. A scotch.
Just a scotch different.
Just a scotch different. We are, as you can tell from the, our brains are spacey, but I think we are sitting in this space of joy still.
Yes, 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 yes.
Even it's exhausting, you know, in the 7 months leading up, but I'm living in a joy bubble. How about you?
Yes, we found love in a hopeless place. All right, just like the song
Los Angeles.
Exactly, and we're doing good. But yeah, so you know, the wedding was Saturday the 11th. Our family left town. Basically, everyone was gone by the 13th. And since then, we have just been chilling in the apartment, taking our time, said we're not doing nothing. We just gonna kind of rest after all that. Because, I mean, hosting people alone, you know, because family got in like the week before. So hosting people alone, you'll be like, I need some time. But on top of that, to have a big old wedding, we said we got to rest. Mm. And now we're coming back. And what's our first activity? What's our first action as a married couple? This introduction.
Yes. First,
which says so much.
First thing I wrote emails to people to see if I could give them back their air purifiers, which we used on the dance floor.
Yes, indeed.
Second act, doing this intro.
Doing this intro, getting it done.
I'm looking down at my hand right now. It is still very, whenever I look at my hand with the wedding ring on it, it's jarring because I'm like, oh, whose hand is that? What adult?
What adult?
Now, mind you, I'm a middle-aged man, and I'm still like, what adult is this? It seems like the ring to me is a symbol of adulthood that I didn't have before.
Well, I think it was also, too, to your mom, because I know, you know, afterwards she was like, oh, look at him, finally, a ring on his finger. You know, it does have a meaning, even if you don't want it to.
Well,
you know?
No, that's like, different. That's different. They kept getting me all these different rings, like with like dragon faces on it, and all.
Talking about
my parents, they've always gotten me.
Never mentioned them getting you rings.
Every year they get me a ring with like a weird thing on it, like a drag. One time a crucifix, strangely, and I'm like, "We're Jewish. Why are you doing this?
You're making this is a bit, and I right? You can't like. Why would I? What are you talking about?
You are tired. You can't even catch the yes and.
No, I don't want to yes in. I'm trying to make
it.
A point.
You caught it.
And you interrupted my point to tell a totally a total lie. Like, people be thinking it's a bit when it's like, no, you're just a lie off topic.
What? Hold
it's
on. It's
an
hold
off topic
on.
Lie.
No, hold on. In what world would you think my parents would get me golden rings with dragon faces on
them.
I just
didn't understand why you were interrupting my point to say it. So it must have had some kernel of truth because it made no kind of sense to me. You see how they be doing? Don't be letting people tell you stuff's a bit when it's just nonsense. Meant to derail. Okay? Don't let them do that. So as you can see, we are still the same couple you have always loved to listen to.
Naomi just reached her hand out to me for us to hold hands. She said that.
As you can see, we are still the same couple.
Naomi, can you play? Someone sent us a voicemail about seeing our wedding pictures on Instagram.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, is it weird to be almost in tears looking at the wedding pictures of two podcasters that you listen to? Because I am almost in tears. Naomi? You look like a goddamn beautiful queen. Holy crap. You look amazing. So did you, Andy. Looks like a great time. Congratulations. No more fees. Tacked on to anything. You're done with the planning. You're done with the day. And you looked incredible. Congratulations that the rain held off. Wow. Good job. Love your love.
Oh. That's so nice.
Oh, thank you so much. This is the sweetest voicemail. I love it so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for appreciating my dress and all the draman glamour I was going for. And it's so true. You're right. No more fees. No more having to stare at the weather and having the results keep me up at night.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, Hattie, that's a weight lifted because I was looking at that damn weather app. I was on Weather Underground, and I said, I'm about to saw something.
10 days before the wedding, just no sleep, just looking at the weather report every night.
And then letting that information shift the entire course of our day.
And then waking up at 3 a.m, like, shot through with anxiety.
Right.
And just being like, what the fuck are we going to do if it rains?
Yes, absolutely. So thank you so much. And it's so funny what you said about fees because, like, literally when it's over, I was like, so are we all settled up? Like, I was afraid I was going to get another invoice, or it's going to be like, people ate more food than we thought, or they drank more than we thought. Like, I thought there was going to be something, but here we are. We at almost a week out. We ain't got nothing. Uh-huh. So I guess we are all settled up. We have done our part. We are done.
Like Scarlet Witch before House of M. No more fees. That's a reference many will get.
Mm-hmm. Like Scarlet Witch
before House of M.
Before House of M.
And my Instagram today made a new heart reference, Naomi. So.
I saw that. Yes, we will be. We will never stop posting wedding pics. I'm trying to maybe take a break to dole them out. I want to wait for some of the professional ones to come in.
Mm-hmm.
But I am gonna post some more. Tomorrow was a week out. You know, a little bare naked ladies. It's been, and so maybe I got to post some more pics. You know, because when else am I gonna be looking that good? That's my thing. I'm milking these photos because when else am I gonna be looking this good? We might have to put up a couple on the couples therapy account.
Yeah. Okay.
Couples Therapy Pod on Instagram, but obviously we'll both be posting on our individual accounts.
Of course.
Because how else do we not?
Well, that's how we
until the day we die.
That's how we maintain our autonomy, is by each having our own Instagram account as opposed to, you know, a couple that has, you know, a single Instagram account for both of them, you know, like a boomer couple with the same email address for both
of them. Yes. And then I also heard Michelle Buteau said she did record the parent speeches.
Oh,
so if I could get that, that might have to be on the page. I don't know. It might have to be behind the paywall because it was a little too good. It can't be out here. You know what I'm saying? Because my mother got a job, so I can't put her out here, but I could put her on the page, maybe.
Of course, that's patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
Well, look, that's all I got to say about us. Thank you for the compliment, but I will continue to compliment myself.
You know what? I don't think it's weird to be almost in tears over two. No. We're not just any podcasters.
No, we are very, we do reveal a lot of our personal lives. So of course you would be invested because you know all our business if you listen in.
We're two of the best up there with the Smartless Lads and Mr. Armchair Expert
move
himself.
Move over, Dax Shepard.
Yeah, move the fuck over, Dax.
We have another voicemail that is also wonderful that we should share.
Yeah, this is an update from Sherry Cola's episode.
Yes, all right, you guys.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. I'm the caller who is dealing with a friend breakup on Sherry Cola's episode. Thank you so much for answering my question. Your advice is so apt, and you echoed my therapist 100%. I have a habit of finding ways to blame myself for everything, everywhere, all at once, and I had convinced myself that I was being irrational by being upset with Sarah, who is 33, by the way. But a while after I called in, her ex told me that she was telling people that because of how I argue with her, I must be autistic. And that is when your advice and my therapist's advice clicked in, and I realized she was never going to see the light, and I just needed to focus on keeping my side of the street clean. I also, good advice, told my mutual friends to stop telling me every terrible thing she ever said about me because it was just making me angry all the time. And that's really helped my healing process, and I obviously am not perfect, so I slip up, but I'm still trying. Anyways, thank you for the great advice. Love you guys. And congratulations on getting married. Bye.
Mm. Okay, look at you. Well, first of all, let's point out, we echo the therapist's advice. Okay, so you guys, look, I don't take insurance. My rates are low. We're obviously at that level.
Do you remember her friend was kind of like a lying psycho?
Uh-huh.
Who ignored, I think this is the one where like she had been in the hospital for a while and the friend like ignored
her. The friend's like,
her.
You never called me?
Yeah.
You don't call me. And she's like, I was having a medical procedure. And she's like, you don't care about me.
Someone kidnapped me, put me in a coffin and buried me in a shallow grave in New Mexico. And that's why, man, you didn't call me that.
I haven't heard from you in like a year? Mm. So I don't know what that's about. So no, I'm very, very happy that you are free. I'm happy that you told the mutuals, like, stop telling me this stuff. Because I think that is going to, as you said, it helps so much. And also it'll help you feel lighter and get that person out of your brain. Stop having them take a brain rent because then people ain't telling you stuff. So very happy for you and your growth.
Yes. This is like a therapeutic lobotomy, Naomi.
We love that. Or just a plain lobotomy, I guess. It's therapeutic in its own way. Every time.
Yeah.
Hey, Eternal look, sunshine vibes.
Look, Naomi, I'm too excited. Why don't we get to the episode?
Okay. You've already heard the dulcet tones of today's guest. Today's guest is someone who, as you can probably tell in the conversation, I follow on Instagram and know way too much about their personal life. We are talking about Tomas Matos.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. They are an actor, dancer, rapper. You've seen them in the movie Fire Island on Hulu.
That's where we fell in love with them.
That's where we fell in love. Then I went down the IG rabbit hole, started listening to their music. You can actually get their new mixtape, WYD, which is out now. Get it wherever you stream, okay? Wherever you purchase.
It's on Bandcamp? Buy it on Bandcamp.
You want me to say Bandcamp, but it's a Spotify happening.
Bandcamp's unionizing now.
You can listen to, you can see their music video called Honestly Cunt. That's fun. And so it's just a really good time, a really good combo. And without support further ado,
the Bandcamp union.
No one cares right now. Shit. Support listening to this episode with Tomas Matos.
Roll it.
Now, Tomas, you just said something before we started recording that shook me, which is you being originally from Staten Island.
That,
yeah.
Like, look, when I hear that Colin Jost is from Staten Island, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm.
Tomas from Staten Island.
Talk to me.
As Naomi says, make it make sense.
Yeah, I really don't understand it either, but I mean, you know, it's, what's the word, the diamond in the rough?
Yes. Yes.
Something like that, child.
But you went to LaGuardia, so you were always coming into the city growing up anyway.
Yeah, I have been coming into the city since I was like, you know, 14 years old. So I'm used to the commute of it all. I'm used to taking a boat two times a day, sometimes four if I'm going out. You know, we're used to the commute. So it's kind of like second nature at this point for me to like, you know, be commuting back and forth from home. It's very annoying, but you know, I'm not paying rent and I don't have to wash my dishes and I don't have to cook. I mean, like, you know, it's a win and lose. Like, I'm paying for it in mental health.
Yes.
But yes. I don't have to cook dinner. So.
Right.
But here's the thing. as we deal with our parents many times, sometimes that bill that comes due, that mental health bill, is maybe too high.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I'm curious about your own bill with your parents when
Well, I live with my grandparents, so the bill is honestly, it's not that bad. I would say it's a generational sort of payment of constantly having to teach, but like reteach, because you know they are in their own ways, you know, who they are and how they grew up and the life that they lived. And you know, I'm not your average girl. And when I say girl, I mean G-W-O-R-L. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a lot of, stress, but we make do. We definitely make do. And I'm realizing that the longer I stay home, the easier it is to kind of like infiltrate to who I actually am in front of them. Like there's a lot of less, I don't know if code switching is the right word, but there's a lot less of hiding who I actually am when at home. Like the other day, which was like so sweet and definitely a milestone in my relationship with my grandma. I was like getting ready to go out to the Eagle to like, you know, meet the girls, which, and I was wearing like a leather harness, but it was like a bra and like a pink, pleated skirt. And the pleated skirt was like very wrinkled. And my grandma, and I asked my grandma for the iron, and she was like, what do you need it for? And I was like, my skirt. And she was like, oh, give it to me. You're not going to know how to iron it. And
I saw that video. I was going to ask you about that. I saw that on stories. Yes. I was like, oh my God, grandma.
Right. Like, she really pulled through. And the skirt was in fact pressed, bitch. Like, she ate that iron job. Like, I would have never been able to do it like that.
Right, right. She knew. She said, I'm not going to have you out here embarrassing me, looking creepy like nobody got you. So for instance, like, you're already dressed, right? Like, you know how you're going to go out. And part of what I was asking about you going into the city a lot is,
and we're saying this as people who go out all the time to clubs, literally, and don't just sit in our apartment.
That's why I look at Tomasa's stories though, because they keep me young. Because you be out here, honey, giving us like, there's a couple things. First, I did want to ask about your grandma because I remember that video, but also another thing I remember that I was like, okay, we have got to talk about this because I really relate to this. It was a sub story where you were like leaving, where you go, when I'm ready to go, I go. And you were just like coming out of a car at the end of a night. And I said, preach on it. Tell me about it. Because that is so, like, I'm that kind of person too. I used to be like, you know, it was like a group of people and everyone's like trying to decide what to do next. And I would just start walking in a direction.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real as hell. I mean, like, I think I'm the type of person, I am a rally girl, and I'm also sober, but before I got sober, I was the girl that was out until 5 a.m., and I was the girl who was rallying everyone else until 5 a.m., but now in sobriety, I'm realizing that, like, I can still be that girl to rally, but bitch, once I rally, and we get to where we're going, I'm out. I'm like, my job is done, I got y'all out, bitch. So it's interesting, like, I'm still down for the party, but when I want to go home, bitch, I'm going home. And I'm going my ass in my bed. And sometimes that's 10:30 p.m. and sometimes that's 3 a.m. No shade, I'd be surprising myself sometimes. But, you know, I definitely still rally the troops. But when it's time to go, it's time to go, you know?
But that's a boundary thing that I guess what I'm curious about is, have you always had that boundary? Even, as you said, even in sobriety, like, you're like, oh, I'll go, but like, is sobriety part of what has taught you how to take care of yourself, meaning do the things you need to do? Or were you always somebody who was like, I'm gone, figure it out, you know, like, I'm going to take care of me first?
I think it was sobriety. I think that was like that was the thing that allowed me to like hone in and really just like take a real quick second to like check myself. And now I don't really feel so bad about because like, you know, when I was going out and when I was like actively living that life, I probably still wanted to go home, but I was just getting so lit in order to suffice to stay out. And now that I'm sober, I'm like, bitch, I'm still the same person, but now I'm not using those tools, those resources to stay out. I'm like, bitch, I'm going home, you know?
Yes. Are your friends supportive?
Yes. I think when I first initially got sober, one, it was during the pandemic. So, like, you know, people were – it was already a crazy thing in itself. But there were a lot of people who kind of left my life just organically because of the fact that the things that were connecting us were, you know, the fact that we were going out and partying. But my immediate like friend group and my close circle and the people that I have met along the way have been nothing but supportive. And it really has like, one, saved me in a lot of moments in which I was probably about to jump off the wagon. And two, just like support me and hold me up and listen to me. Because, you know, every day is different. And some days I'm like, well, maybe it actually, like, maybe I could potentially do this. And it's always a conversation with the people that I talk to rather than a, no, you can't do this or no, you shouldn't do this. It's a, well, why would you want to do this? Or what makes you want to, you know, potentially step off the track that you're currently on?
Yeah. Right. Don't step out on yourself. That's what I call cheating on yourself. It's like, don't step. Why you step out? What's this really about? It's kind of the question, right? But part of, going back to again this boundary though, this question again, as you said with your grandma kind of seeing you and saying, "Let me press the skirt."
Why are you asking about boundaries and parental figures, Naomi? What is it? What are we dealing with that we are?
I wonder.
Our wedding's in 3 weeks, and our parents are just stomping or curb stomping all over our boundaries.
Curb stomping.
Yeah, they're really American History X-ing our boundaries at the moment.
It's a process of, well, it's also just interesting, again, these things where I think what I'm butting up against or what we're talking about more is, right, where you're like, I'm grown and I am in my life and I can pay my bills and I can move in a certain way. And yet when I'm around this other person, I'm 13 again. And what is that, right? And how do you fight that?
And that other person might be my parents.
How do you assert yourself, right? And how can you make that relationship change in a way, right? So that's what I mean. Like, you know, when you coming in, you know, your grandma seeing you and then being like, I got you. But like, how long had you been, as you say, some of this code switching or letting, you know, what you chose to let them in on of your life? Is that only since, you know, you're now back with them? Because like, you're like, hey, this is me. But I feel like that could have been scarier to let them in. Cause you're like, oh, I kind of am. They're doing me a favor right now. Or I'm relying on them. I'm scared to be too real.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I have always been this, like who I am, you know, over the past few years, I have definitely stepped into it. To a T, to be like, this is who I am, unapologetic.
You become a fashionista.
Bitch, no.
You're a fashion icon.
No games are being played anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And I think with me being comfortable in my own skin, not to quote Beyonce, but to quote Beyonce, it has allowed me to kind of, I don't know, like break down the barriers of like, oh, well, I would love for my grandparents to like actually know who I am. There is something so extremely scary about it. Mm-hmm. But on the exact same token, it's kind of like really rewarding to be able to like step out of my bedroom in front of my grandma with my pink skirt on, you know, I think there's also like, my grandmother and my grandfather are two different stories.
Yes.
And I think I have to take, it's going to take one by one, you know, to be able to, because people are different, you know. But yeah, I don't know. I'm taking it day by day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is this something that, is it just the pandemic that made you kind of realize this? Is it sobriety that you came to in the pandemic? What, you know, what is it that allowed you to say like, look, this is just me and I'm done with pretending it's not.
And I don't even just think, you know, again, your identity and your presentation. I mean, for me, I'm also curious about, again, the sobriety of it all, right? Because certainly a lot of us in the pandemic went the opposite way and said, why not be a full-blown alcoholic? And so the decision to, it's just a decision to take care of yourself and at a time when it was the hardest.
Yeah.
2020. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think,
I asked because, like, the pandemic made me, like, realize a lot of things where I'm just like, what do I actually care about on this earth? Mm-hmm. People, right. My friends, my loved ones, my pets. Like, that's it. I guess that's really it. And, like, the actual act of creating things, making things. But, like, the other stuff, I'm just like, it really just turned something in me where I'm just like, I just don't give a shit about some of the stuff anymore. Some of, like, more of, like, the career-oriented, like, ambition stuff, or not the ambition part of it, but just the
compare and despair, I think, of it all.
Yeah,
like once we all have a global pandemic, suddenly I'm not as pressed about your deadline article. Do you know what I mean? Right. In the way that it would like literally make me feel like, okay, I just don't have it. And like, that's not, it did adjust some of that thing.
Anyway, that was a lot to throw at you.
Yeah, I mean, hell yeah. No, but like, I think it's so like, The pandemic definitely kind of forced me and also many other people to kind of just question, you know, what do we actually care about? Or like what, cause we were confined, you know, to our own thoughts, our own selves. So a lot of the things that were like, you know, in our lives, but probably like not like, you know, questionable things, they came up to the surface. And for me, that was, you know, running away, however I was, to my own emotional trauma, not to, you know, use that word that has been thrown around so much in 2023. but like tea, you know, like I think it just allowed me to really, like, you know, sit down with myself and like go to therapy, which like, and get sober, which is sometimes I think people like, it's very far-fetched when you think of who I am, I think, and sobriety. A lot of people have been like shocked at me being sober. But I think it's something that I hold so close to my heart because I think I am where I am today because I took the step to think about what do I actually care about and where do I want to be spending my focus and my time and putting my energy towards. And that was, you know, growth in all different aspects of my life.
Right, right. And then the movie, Fire Island, the movie came, you know what I mean? It's like struck this chord and like hit, you know, which is always the dream, right? Because you can never control if anybody sees it or cares about it. Mm-hmm. You can just kind of do it, right? And then they did. And so, because I would say I was definitely a person who was surprised that you were sober, not in a, I don't know, not in a way where I think what I like, I was like, it made me so happy to see it because I think it's so, especially too, because I always forget, you're under 30. You're young. You're a baby in the
woods.
Are
you 30 under 30?
They're 30 under 30.
Hashtag 30 under 30.
But you're, because you, because to me, I think what I was drawn to, again, because you and I had not met before, was that you have like a positive energy and are like, I'm out here living my best life no matter what. And as somebody who loves to take naps and be sad, I really like to see that. And so I thought it was like really great. And then on top of that, to be like, I do all of this and I'm out here on the carpets, sober, clear-eyed, taking it all in, being who I am. I was like, the children need this. The children need to know that you can be young and hot and substance free. And that's beautiful, you know, because I don't think I knew that. And I think I've always struggled with how you manage sobriety in an industry like this.
Well, you kids today don't have DARE. When I was a kid, we had DARE. And that's what scared us off the cocaine.
But it always
not did. Dare.
You must. But it always did, right? Because it's so much. It's like going to parties and networking and being out later than you wanted to be, or having conversations with people who you would not normally talk to. All these things you have to navigate, and the ability to navigate that stuff. Where I was like, you know, that the decision or trying to figure out, okay, how do I be fully present? How do I manage anxiety? You know what I mean? All the things that come with that. It's its own animal.
100%. But I think that, like, there's nothing like just stepping into a space and being able to be myself that has been the sort of armor that I think I would normally go to getting, you know, lit off of from. So I think I've just substituted like getting extremely fucked up with getting extremely cunt.
We love it. That's a beautiful substitute. That's a higher power.
And that's
my higher power is cunt.
Yo.
That's so good.
Okay, so wait, do you mind if I ask about your dating life?
Yes,
through,
I was going to say, I said, let's pivot into dating.
Well, through sobriety, how has it changed?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, that's something that I want to talk to y'all about. Like, plot twist, bitch, this is my therapy session about my love life because I am confused.
What?
Lay it
What's
on
going
us.
On? Tell
Lay
us,
it
tell
on
us,
us,
tell us. It's free, no copay. Bring.
Well, okay, work. Thank you, because you know a bitch is slightly uninsured right now. I don't know. I feel like I'm like in a way stunted in my love life. I've never had a partner. I've never really had like an actual romantic connection with someone. However, I think I'm an extremely sensitive person, but I think the reason why I haven't had a relationship is because I'm so scared of getting hurt. Because I know that when I do fall, I fall hard, and I'm afraid of what that possibility of getting hurt will do to me. Because I think I protect my energy so much, and I've had to for so long that opening your heart up to someone, it seems like the most frightening thing in the entire world to me. But I just don't know. I feel like I'm stunting myself, or like I'm stopping myself from feeling the love that like I wish, or I think in my heart I want and I know I deserve. But I just don't know. It's scary.
I identify with all of that. Have you ever met someone that you did want to open yourself up to and then you didn't? Or have you maybe just not met the right person?
I don't know. I think I have. I think in like my late teens is when the first like heartbreak happened, which is what kind of has built up all of the walls of me now being like, I'm afraid of love. But I don't know. I feel like that was so long ago. So I feel like it should, you know.
Well, okay. But then I'm going to piggyback on that question too, though. Here's what I wonder nowadays, right? Because you are friendly, warm, sociable, right? So it's not like you're going out and, you know, being in a corner and then being like, why haven't I met anyone?
Oh, that was me. That was me in my 20s.
Exactly. So I guess what I'm wondering is, for instance, when you are meeting people out and about, socially, whatever, and let's say there's somebody where you're like, okay, they're cute. Like, okay, maybe they're cool. Will you flirt and engage, or do you just sort of shut that down? You see what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. will you give off I'm interested energy or not even?
I give off I'm interested energy, but I think I play a game.
Here we go.
Okay, we're into it. We're getting here. We go. We're playing games. We're playing games.
Well, there you go.
Well, we getting into the thick of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like you're playing cat and mouse games. Is it because are you looking for that person to prove that they're for real? Do you know what I mean? Like, are the games about like, show me how much you like me?
Or are you bored and you're just having fun?
No.
Like trying to entertain yourself.
No, I think it's what Naomi said. I think it's like, cause I never know, especially now, because I, being, you know, stepping into my, you know, non-binary binary, I am not, I don't receive the same attention that I did when I was cisgender passing. And I still have that passing privilege, but when I was, you know, giving quote unquote trade, the attention that I received then is much different than the attention that I receive now. And I think that plays into the games that I play of, are you actually ready for all of what you're about to get into? You know, because I am, and I say this in like the best way possible about myself, I am a lot, and I switch it up all the time, you know, like, I will be wearing my stiletto sharp nails, you know, and holding your zip, like, just the heads up, bitch. Like, that's what it's going to be giving.
Yes, yes. And you're saying, are you ready for what this is? Is basically what you are trying to assess and why you're keeping people, you will keep a person at arm's length.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit because of that.
Or at dick's length.
Not arm, dick's length. Right.
At nail length.
There we go. That's exactly. We workshopped it. We figured it out.
We got there. There's a reason the nails are sharp, too. Do you know what I mean? It's about that talon.
It's giving ding.
Scratch an eye out if you have to. So.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, sorry. I'm always so, I'm like, well, everything must be much better now in 2023, right? You and your, as you said, non-binary finery.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely.
Which in my limited capacity, I would just say your fabulousness, right?
Period.
How it strikes me. I'm just like, well, you must have suitors left and right.
Left, right, and center walking around with that creamy caramel skin and those nails. And I've seen that booty. I said, I bet they can't walk down the street.
Every night at dinner, that's all Naomi's talking about.
I said, Tomas is giving. Did you see what Tomas was giving? And that's what I'm saying every day. Every day when we.
Stop, I'm honored. I'm flattered.
But when you talk about too, the difference in the intention, are you questioning the. What's the word? The honesty? The intentions? The intentions of that attention.
The intentions of that attention?
Yes. Like, meaning like, it's like, okay, are you for real? Are you just trying to hook up? Are like, you know?
Can you give us an example? Is there like a specific person where...
Give full government names and address.
Social security number.
You like IG handle, give me their email, give me their phone number.
Dox them.
We will follow up. I will have notes.
Well, okay, so like there will be people who will be interested. Okay, so one specifically, I met this very attractive, very handsome cis man at the gym. And this was when I'm at the gym, I give Clint, but I'm like, you know, it's giving like sports bra, it's giving like booty shorts, but like I'm not in my tennis skirt at the gym. So I'm not giving like high femme. I would say I'm giving like very neutral gender spectrum. But sometimes I guess that comes off more on the masculine side compared to what I normally am. And I feel like once people see me get out of my gym clothes and step into my actual outfit, it's a bit of a different story. So I was flirting with this guy on the floor of the gym, and then like, you know, we were talking about hanging out after, so we finished our workouts, and then once we were done, we met at the lobby of the gym. And bitch, I looked cunt like always, you know, as we do. And then, I mean, like, you know, like this, like, he actually could have probably had something to do, but it gave, we're not hanging out anymore for whatever reason. So that always, like, just makes me feel a bit, you know, like, why would I want to put myself out there if that is the, you know, if that is the outcome that will inevitably happen? But maybe I'm just looking in the wrong places, you know, like, maybe, I don't know. Maybe my future partner is not at Equinox 50th Street.
I was gonna say, you know, the gym is already it's already dicey.
Yeah.
On one hand, it's like, okay, great, we both are into working out, but
it's such a den of like gender conformity and like
and
the minute
obsession.
You step into it,
yes.
You feel the magnets on you.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what it is. Like, it's like, that's not it. It's gotta be, it's someone through friends. It's someone who is also probably, it's always, cause it's interesting. Cause I used to feel this way. I don't know, again, as a performer, right? I actually didn't like when someone talked to me after seeing me on stage because I felt like they were getting a different thing, right? Like I was like, oh, you like her. I was like, that was a lot of concentrated effort. I'm not always that. You know? Then I'm like, don't talk to me after this. So it's like, you almost want someone who, you know what I mean? Who like doesn't know, see like, you know, the stage, the, you know, on screen, all that. So they're not,
you want them to talk to you after a day of depression and watching Midsommar Murders.
Yes, whatever your equivalent of that is. Whatever. Do you watch British crime shows to unwind?
Whatever your truth is, which is for Naomi is Midsommar Murders.
Or like the person when you're out and you're like, I'm going to bed. And that person be
that,
like,
yes,
you know what? I'll walk you to get a cab. And like, let's chit chat.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You want that. It's like a different, that person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's out there. It's possible. It is. I think it's always hard to find a person. And I think that the less basic you are, the harder it is.
Yeah.
Because when you're basic, it's just easy. You just like pick a Chad somewhere.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean? Again, I always remember that from Annie Hall, where it's the kind
Annie
of hole. Basic.
Okay.
Where he stops this couple on the street, and they're this just kind of very basic kind of just
like a middle class white couple.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, how do you make it work? And they're like, oh, well, we're bland and we don't have a lot of interests, and that's how. And it's something exactly. It's along those same lines. And that's the thing. It's those people always find each other.
Oh yeah, they always find each other. They're everywhere. They're running around grocery stores. Falling into love.
Are they? Here's the thing. Are they being honest about themselves?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Being basic is so relaxing.
Yeah, I feel like that's regular. They probably, they was getting apples when they met at the Whole Foods.
Exactly. We both reach for a Granny Smith.
Oh, yeah.
That was love.
Yeah.
That's it.
If your hand touches someone else's hand,
you're just
going
for
a Granny Smith specifically, you're basic. This is my new stand-up routine. You might be basic.
Yeah, it's like, no. Yeah, no but no. I... But
oh,
I mean,
Pink Lady or Honey Crisp. There's your...
Okay.
This person's interesting.
Those are your go-to apples, Ian.
The Honey Crisp slaps.
You're into honey... It's so funny because I didn't not know anything about apples until I met this man, and he is so specific about apples. It'll be like I was like, I'm gonna go somewhere. He's like, okay, get me a Honey Crisp. If they don't have that, get a Pink Lady. If they don't have that, get a Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
It's that's it. And I was like, okay. Meanwhile, I'm just like, what's the reddish pink? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know anything.
She just wants a gala.
I guess that's what I, if I eat a fruit.
Okay.
If I'm eating a fruit or a vegetable.
Gala.
Yeah, it's a gala. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wait. But have you gotten close? Do you know where you might find this person? Just us saying this. What do you do? Where might this person emerge?
Well, okay. I'm going to follow up that question with another question because I don't know. Is it bad to specifically know what you're looking for when it comes to a partner, or is it better to be sort of aloof and hope to be pleasantly surprised? If that makes any sense.
I'll go with the second, because I never had, and Naomi always finds this to be, she's always incredulous about this, is that I never had an image of a person I would end up with in my head.
Mm-hmm.
There was no type, no set rule, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so when Naomi came into my life, I was very surprised and taken.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're welcome.
Yes,
well, you're
call
welcome.
Her.
Period.
Exactly. But here's what I would say. I agree, but here's what I would say, right? I think it is be open to maybe the way in which you meet them, the presentation of them, but be very clear on how you want to feel with them.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
That's
when you 100%. Start doing your shit, it's like, how do I feel? What do I want a partner to make me feel?
Mm-hmm.
What do I want a partner to be able to do for me when I'm on Struggle Street? What do I want a partner to be? That's the stuff I think that you should know, full stop, because you got to know, your boundaries, the point at which you're like, this is not it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, for instance, it's like, interesting, you're giving librarian, but you really seem to get me. And you know what I mean? Like, you never know, right?
Yeah.
You might be like, that wasn't the type. That's what I think is
it. Could be rockabilly librarian.
Rockabilly.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I feel like I'm going to get a cellist. My partner's going to be third flute in the back of the orchestra.
I love that.
I love that. Exactly. That's definitely it. But I think it's being open to that. Because I think that we're also all taught, right? Whatever we're taught, that we're supposed to be with a certain type of person. Because it means X. X, Y, or Z about us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And letting go of that kind of stuff. Because Andy, did you ever think you would bring home a black woman? Is what I had said to him, Because I'm like, he is just white as the snow and so indie rock delicate. I was like, you're even whiter than I imagined for myself. Okay. And I went to private school and you're still giving me more than I thought was going to happen.
Well, because I come from middle class background. So I'm grittier than all those blue bloods you went to school with.
No. Pennsylvania, though. So it's not, and, like, it's not, okay?
The Pennsylvania middle class.
But damn. That's just not it. And I'm always like, but it's true. It's like, I didn't know about that, right? It's my person.
Mm-hmm.
But what I knew
well, I was like, oh, this is a person who, you know, takes me for who I am fully and doesn't ask me to change and doesn't criticize me. And that's it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you'll feel. I think that's what you feel in a, that's what you feel in a person. But now that we have these parameters all set, now, Tomas, people are, they're writing us, they need help, and we have to help them, okay? We've got to.
Okay.
So are you ready? Are you ready to help people?
And we need you to help us help them. Help us help them.
Well, I feel like y'all just helped me, and I got a really good checklist of, you know, what I need to, like, what I'm looking for in a partner. So, absolutely, I'm going to pay you forward. What's good? What are we talking about?
Okay, y'all. Right. We're about to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With Tomas Matos here to help you handle your scandal, honey. Okay, it's a journey. You are on it, and we will help you. You know we do not have licenses. We just be talking.
Mm-mm.
And so, Tomas, we get the DMs, we get Gmails, we get voicemails. People coming from all angles trying to just figure your life out.
All right. You know what? I always pick them mostly by random. And I think I'm an intuitive person, so hopefully
we'll see.
Here, this first one, according to our booker Mimi, she said it was low key funny. So let's check it out.
Hi, Naomi and Andy, and your guest, if you have one, I'll leave my name out. But I'm sure if anyone I know is listening, they'll know it's me. But whatever. I'm 37 and I live in Canada. I feel like that makes a difference because Canadians are maybe our own kind of weird. But I was listening to both of your individual pods for a long time now, and I thought couples therapy wasn't really for me because I haven't dated since Obama was president the first term.
Okay.
But now I've started listening, and I'm hooked, and I signed up for the Patreon. So I listen at night while I color in a coloring book, which is maybe too much information. But while I've been listening, I had a question that I haven't heard you answer yet, but I'm still working through. The episodes, it's about explaining an extended period of being single. So I've made a profile on a dating app, and I'm kind of tiptoeing back into getting into that sort of thing. I haven't met up with anybody yet or been interested in anyone yet, but I'm just wondering, at what time do I have to say that I haven't dated for close to 10 years? Sorry, I'm like out of breath, like I'm running a marathon. It's just a voice now. So the reason I haven't dated in so long is because I had a really debilitating eating disorder and I wasn't really able to do much of anything but kind of work and just sort of slog through life. I had a boyfriend when things first started, but he sort of disappeared and faded away while I was preoccupied with food and weight and all of that stuff. So I've never really discussed what happened or what it's like with a romantic partner. And I don't want to be a jerk, but I've posted about Eating Disorder Awareness Week and that kind of stuff on my socials, and guys always say, like, you look great. Like, that means I'll just drop the eating disorder because I got a compliment, and that's not really what it's based around. So anyways, I just wanted to know what your advice would be to explain not having dated for so long without giving too much information and scaring people away, and also how to avoid being triggered by personal trainers and guys who love leg day on apps. Thanks for any help, and sorry, I'm sweat of breath. Bye.
Oh my gosh, I adore you. Thank you for writing, for calling in. So I appreciate you all the way in Canada. You probably out of breath because you called. It's freezing. You know when it's cold, you can't get your breath.
Where are you? Edmonton?
Toronto, maybe. I don't know.
Vancouver, Calgary. Keep naming them.
Tomas, you know, you talked about, you know, not dating, you know, and not having a relationship for a while. Do you feel like that's something you need to say off the bat? Or it doesn't feel to me like something that you have to be ashamed of or over-explain.
Yeah.
Hell no. It don't matter. I feel like if conversation were to arise about dating past, then I would say it. But I'm not sure if it's something that is necessarily, you know, something that I would bring up, or it would be a deal breaker for me in a conversation about a potential relationship.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I don't think you need to necessarily go into all the, I don't think you need to tell it. First of all, you never need to tell anybody anything you don't want to tell them.
Yeah.
That part.
That's the full stop. And I also think that this is going to be one of those things that you're going to learn to trust your gut on, meaning you're going to know when you're meeting somebody and talking to them if they seem like an open person, a non-judgmental person, a sensitive person. You can kind of tell when somebody's like, oh, you ain't the one to talk to about the darkness. We all know that when
if
you meet somebody.
The person you're dating responds to everything with a joke, do not open up.
Yeah.
That is someone who cannot handle the real.
Yeah.
Period.
Well, but then it's also like, it is hard too, that other layer of, you know, talking about posting on, posting about eating disorder awareness, and then someone being like, you look good. And it's like, sure, they're probably trying to be helpful, but not realizing that it's like, that ain't it.
Yeah.
And you certainly don't want to spend your dating time trying to, okay, let me educate you on what an eating disorder means. And it's not this simple. Like, you don't want to be doing that every time you're going to hang out with somebody.
Do you know what it is? There's a lot of us, and I'm thinking back to, let's say, my parents' expectations towards our wedding. They have just the standard. I say this a lot on my other podcast, Beginnings, which our caller listens to. But that a lot of us have a script we're handed at birth. And whether you want to, and a lot of people do not question whether they should read that script or not. And they're just like, well, I have the script, might as well just go through it. And that script in my mind was just a long, muddy slide into the grave. Like I could envision, I'm just like, well, I have the ending here. I can flip forward in the script to the very ending.
Right.
And this is horrifying to me.
Right.
And it took me a while to throw the script away. And I did. But while I was sitting there just reading it, it was existentially, I was full of existential despair and anguish and all that kind of stuff. You don't have to read the script. I think you have three people here on this Zoom who threw away the script that they were handed by Uncle Sam. By who, you know, whatever.
Right.
Everybody. By capital C culture.
Right.
And said, we're going to do our own thing. And we're much better for it. So whatever the script you might have about dating, throw it away. You don't need to tell them anything. You don't need to. I know Naomi said this, but I'm saying like whatever pressures you feel about how much you have to disclose about your past, about the last 10 years, whatever, you don't have to. You just don't have to. And there's nothing. The pressure that you feel is made up pressure.
Yes.
The call is coming from inside the house.
Oh my God, always coming from inside the house. It's also too, like, again, on date one, even if someone says like, "What? When was the last time you dated?" Which is already like, get out of here. This is not a job interview. Leave me alone. Stop trying to get all my business.
Period.
Those are the worst dates, by the way. I went on a handful of OK dates before I met Naomi, and they were just fucking job interviews. And I'll tell you what, I didn't get the job at the end of any of them. I was passed over for promotion, none of it.
You can't do it. But you could also just like, oh yeah, I spent 10 years working on myself, right? And that can be that that it can be that much information, which is not a lie. It's certainly the truth. And then it's like, okay, mm-hmm. maybe once I know you and feel like you're my person, we can get into some of that other stuff. You know, no one is owed your vulnerability. No one is owed your history. So if you can take some of that pressure off yourself, and then also, you know, as we were talking about before, these questions of sort of how do you want someone to treat you and think of you, you know, you might feel like, you know, a person who responds, but you look good. You shouldn't have had an eating disorder. You know, that's not the person you talk to anymore. That's not the one who passes go and collects $200. Not anymore.
No, they're barely getting out of, I don't know, Monopoly.
I know, you don't know. One. Send them to jail. You just say you got to send them.
Yeah. I know, but I didn't even want them to get to jail. I wanted them to be one of those purple ones that's like $50. Monopoly's a terrible. Sorry,
Andy.
Look, I don't mean to get on my soapbox.
You are getting on it, and I want to ask
but
them.
Monopoly. Why are we still playing this?
I know. Sorry, go on. They should change the name to Capitalist Daddy and see how many people play it then. Because you talked about therapy and sort of working on yourself. Was it hard for you to get honest with another person, you know, to kind of sit and talk and say, this is where I'm at?
Yes. And it took a second for me to like feel comfortable enough to sit and actually be real with my therapist. It probably took about, I would say like 6 weeks until I fully was like, this is the actual reason why I'm here. And this is what I need to work on.
Okay.
You know? I think that's just comfortability with, I think me being who I am and being able to open up to a literal stranger via Zoom, you know, that's hard, but it's capable. It's possible. And like anything, the more time and the more nurture and the more energy you give it, it will grow and it will become a fruitful relationship.
Yeah. Wait, I want to ask a question. Best date you've ever been on?
Oh,
because I want to know what other people are doing on these good dates.
Oh my God, I don't know.
I've had, no, Naomi, I have dated people before you.
I don't want to hear about it.
But you are in the best dates, right? And obviously now they're all the best dates.
Oh,
but
well, I wouldn't say that.
No. They're at least baseline good. But what I mean is like when we're giving the caller advice, I'm like, oh, right, they're not job interviews. When you're just vibing with someone, I hate using that word, but it's true. When it's all vibes, the best dates are all vibes. And so it's not question. You're just there with the other person, and it feels right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to know if that was the same, Tomas, for you as it was for you. I'm like, oh, right, when the vibes are right, the vibes are right.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if I've had the best date.
Oh no.
I feel like, I don't know, like in my opinion, the best dates that I've had were always like sexually driven and like, like that is how I consider them to be good. Like if like the sex was good, but that would always lead into a fruitful conversation. But maybe I'm doing it wrong.
Well, no.
Maybe not. Maybe that's right. Again, vibes are right.
If it's leading to an actual conversation that's any good, I'm like, well, then that's the order in which you do it. I'm like, if it's working.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you can actually get, because I thought you were going to say it was a good date if the sex was good and that's it. Do you know what I mean? But if you're actually like, if you come off of that with like, okay, so tell me about
yourself. Didn't know where you were
going
with that sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps. And so the question is sort of, you know, however, but it's true. But I also too think like an attraction to somebody obviously is like is all vibes. You're just like, oh, I like this person. I'm just like, I want to see them now. I want them to come. You know what I mean? Like that is all just attraction and energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what that is.
Too many people are not paying attention. And I was one of them. I was a logic based person who had shut myself off from my emotions. And then once I opened the door to my heart just a little bit and I let the vibes in.
Yep. You let the vibes in. Exactly.
Things got so much better.
But see, this is why though, when Tomas was waiting, being like, I don't know if I had a date. I was like, they have not let the vibes in. You have been closing yourself off to vibes. And I think that
I think so.
What you're talking about, right? That feeling of like, it's been a while, I wonder. But to me, even just acknowledging that and knowing that and being able to, you know, sit with yourself, you know, in those moments where you're like, okay, do I think this person's cute? Okay, now why is it that I'm avoiding them or playing games or whatever, right? Like, as you start to figure, see those moments as they're happening or closer to when they're happening, then you can stop doing them. But that's why I'm like, this is it. This is step, you know, step one and two. Step one and two for opening your heart.
We got the first steps good.
We got them good. Those are the best
steps. One and three. Skip steps. One and three.
Period.
Another voicemail or a message, Andy? Which one?
What do you want to do? Do you want, I like this decision. I pick three for every guest, and then I'm going to leave it. Tomas, would you like something written or another voicemail?
Let's go with, I'm going to pick, I think I want to go with a voicemail.
Great. Absolutely. Here we go.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. My name is Amanda, and this feels weird. I wish I could just talk to you guys IRL, but we're strangers, so I'm calling a voicemail. I have a question about cutting off a toxic family member, specifically my dad's older sister, my aunt. She's in her like late 70s. She lives alone. She doesn't have children or a partner or even a pet, and she is so incredibly difficult. And namely, she just makes me feel terrible, just makes me feel really, really bad about myself and always has. We've had, you know, on-again, off-again relationships. I've tried to make, like, it known that I don't really want her in my life, but she keeps coming back. For example, we live in a pretty small city, but there's like 50 grocery stores, and somehow she goes to the grocery store in my neighborhood, and she'll text me and say, I'm at the bottom of your street and come out, but I don't want to come up to your house. She's just super neurotic and weird. All this to say, I do have empathy for her. I think she was, you know, had a really hard childhood. She was basically like at least neglected, if not definitely abused as a child. So I do feel for her. But again, she's super, super intense, toxic, mean, really makes me feel like shit. What's stopping me from just saying, please fuck off forever, is that she supports my dad, who is, you know, he's also single, lives alone. He doesn't have a job. He hasn't worked in 20 years. And I'm like terrified someday he's going to call and ask me for help. But she supports him. So I feel like she is so malicious that if I were to cut her off, she would cut him off. She would punish him. So I don't feel comfortable doing that, but I just need a way to set up a boundary with her that, you know, doesn't hurt my dad and also just doesn't make me feel like shit. I don't know. It's so hard. Family is so challenging and part of me is just like, I don't know. Anyways, I really love you guys. Naomi, your voice is so soothing to me and, I'm a huge fan. So wishing you guys the best. Bye.
Thanks, Amanda. I understand what you're saying, Tomas. I think it's funny because you said you just sort of picked the questions randomly. But again, this idea of boundaries, family, as you said, taking it one day at a time in terms of just the relationships, right? And so this kind of does fit with somebody, you know, okay, auntie is in her 70s. So, you know, she's also towards the end of her time with the earth. I know that's it, but like there's not going to be a lot. But at the same time, no one wants to be around anybody who makes them feel like shit. Your words.
Yeah.
Shit. So how do you handle that? And then that feeling of also vindictiveness, because I've definitely had that fear sometimes, or like when I was living with family where I was like, well, I can't say anything because they might actually kick me out, or I'm like afraid they will put me out, you know? And so let alone like to Amanda's father feeling like, oh, I don't want dad to get put out. But at the same time, I always think it's worth trying to say something to someone. Now, how you say it is the tricky part, But I feel like you gotta try. Or like, you know, in the moment, if it's not some big fight, it's like, when you say that, that hurts my feelings. Or I don't like that. You know, just something to kind of try to break the cycle a bit.
Mm-hmm. It is definitely tricky, I think, specifically in Amanda's situation, because there are three people at play. So it's hard to be like, you know, to want to be able to put the boundary up, but then that's going to tarnish someone else's relationship, you know? I do find that a tricky, but not like a tricky, but like a sly way to put up boundaries are to respond in question. Like if Auntie were to say something hurtful, asking a question as to why or phrasing something so that it kind of sparks conversation and kind of helps get to the root of where Auntie is coming from, then it could help bring up what's actually happening, and that could be the lead way into setting a boundary instead of just like straightforward being like, I don't like what you're doing, I'm setting a boundary, because then that would in turn create like some sort of reaction in Auntie that could potentially hurt father. So like starting a conversation, I think is a really good way to put up the boundary, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. Do you have an example? Or do you just mean that in general?
I think in general, like whenever I could give an example. When I also live with my uncle, I live with my grandparents, my sister, my sister's baby, and my uncle is very brash, very abrasive, very intense. And he says a lot of things towards me that are queerphobic, very, you know, he is not with the times. He is not with, you know, who I am. And I will, every time that he will say something like, you know, why are you wearing that F shit, you know, like throwing slurs, I'd be like, why can't I? Or why do you think I can't? Or what is the thing that is stopping me from doing it? And then that will in turn get a response from him like, well, only girls will wear that. And I can say, well, what if I wanted to be a girl, you know? And then if his response was something transphobic, then I'm like, I actually don't think that I feel comfortable with what you just said. And so there is now a boundary of, when it comes to how I dress and how I present myself, it is no longer a conversation on the table. So that is kind of like a way in, if that makes sense. Like if,
oh yeah, that's fantastic.
It is. Yeah. It's just a way in, I think, to people who are abrasive and people who are, what's that word? When people like move quickly, like, but like weird, like there's a word for it.
Like a zombie, like
weird, erratic,
impulsive, erratic.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought
yes.
A mushroom zombie on the last
exactly.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's like that's real Socratic kind of shit, right?
Let's talk it through.
Oh, so okay, yeah. You're gonna say a thing. I'm just gonna keep questioning you until you realize that the things you believe are actually not. You don't actually have evidence for what you believe. You don't have anything to back it up. You don't have any. You just have your own shitty little prejudices.
But then also, it's not just that. But this is the thing I always say, right? Where it's like, you can't control what someone does or what they say, but you can control what they do and say around you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is. Like, okay, mm-hmm. When it comes to you and me, this conversation does not happen anymore. That you can control.
Period.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, that is kind of, so when it comes to your aunt acting some kind of way, you know, again, picking your battles, picking the things that you feel, you know, as you, again, when you say like, treats me like shit, it's, you know, that's vague. I believe it, but I guess I'm sure that happens in different ways. So is it for you that you're like, I don't like her commenting on my appearance? Is that the thing where you want to push back first or push back now? And then kind of, you know, because you also can't make all the changes at once. So it is kind of picking, okay, what's the stuff that we need to shut down most immediately? What is like the worst of it? And then we'll get into everything else kind of over time. I think that's what it is. Cause yeah, she is who she is at this point in her life. But if considering you guys are around each other, she's like choosing to come be by your house to go do grocery shopping when there's, so it's like she's trying to hang out and be close, right? Cause she also said in the beginning too, this idea like, well, she doesn't have kids. She doesn't really have any family. So I'm sure she does want a relationship, but she doesn't necessarily know how to have it in a way that's fun.
Maybe. Have you thought about pranking her?
Oh, Lord.
In ways that cannot be traced back to you.
Andy, you love pranking. You love pranking.
I guess the neighborhood children nailed your door shut again. Sorry, Auntie. That's not a... See? That's... Well, I guess she could hear you nailing.
Yes, she would know it was you. She would look out the window.
Get a nail gun that has a battery.
Oh.
Now, though, Tomas, as you said, you know, living with everybody and sort of navigating everyone again, just mm-hmm. kind of being under one roof in that way, what do you do to take care of yourself? As you said, you're like, okay, I usually am like, I don't stay at home all day. So obviously you kind of just separate yourself from the situation. Are there any other things you do to sort of mm-hmm. manage how you feel and your reaction to people you cannot change?
Yes. I think like my immediate thing nowadays is video games. Like when I just want to escape, when I need to like, you know, yes. like leave, I just literally turn on my PlayStation and play video games. also something that is new, but is like also really fulfilling, but also super frightening because I never thought I would consider myself one, is writing. Like I am now like starting to like get into writing my own stories, which is, and putting my own voice into words on a paper, which is like so crazy and also really fulfilling. And it allows me to escape my current situation or like, my current, you know, if I am feeling stressed in any way, it allows me to escape into a world that I am completely solely in control of because it is my own work.
Yeah.
That's what I meant there.
That's great.
Very good. Miss United States.
USA!
Taking your uncle's toothbrush and rubbing the inside of the toilet with it.
Oh, Lord. Saying these pranks, Andy pranking.
Not no.
Not no. That's always a response. But Tomas. Thank you so much for joining us on Couples Therapy. This was a dang delight.
I had a fabulous time. I have like a whole list of things that I am now going to look forward to in finding a partner. They got to be supportive. They got to have at least $1 million in their bank account so that they can support me in times of strife. And they have to be with all of who I am in my totality, yes. in who I am as an individual, and less of, you know, they have to be a sugar daddy at 55. I'm gonna open my eyes.
Oh, we love it. We love it.
What if, okay, all that stuff except the $1 million is in a real estate portfolio and is not liquid. You okay with that?
Yeah, you're okay with the real estate portfolio?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll allow it.
All right, listeners, if you fit that bill, listeners.
If you have assets, okay.
Slide into Tomas's DMs.
In my mind.
All right, you guys, thanks so much for listening. We will see you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.